This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Our hospitals have been likened to war zones during the COVID pandemic. For those of us who aren't on the front lines, it might be a little hard to imagine the scope of what it's been like this past year. One Michigan doctor is, in the form of a new book, offering readers a glimpse of her experiences working as a first-year neurology resident at a Detroit hospital during the pandemic. Dr. Selina Mahmoud is a second-year neurology resident at Henry Ford Health System. Her book, A Pandemic in Residence, Essays from a Detroit Hospital, publishes May 18th. It reads like a combination of essay collection, diary, scientific article, cultural commentary, and poetry. And it illuminates with sharp, elegant prose that artfully blends fact with feeling, a year like no other. Dr. Mahmoud, welcome to Stateside.
Hi, thank you.
Hey, could we start out with you telling us just a little bit about your path into medicine?
Sure. So I was born into a family of physicians. My grandparents are doctors. My parents are doctors. So I think it was kind of always expected of me, and I kind of fell into it. But I think even things you fall into, you have a moment where you kind of realize, okay, this is what I want to do. I think for me, that moment of realization was possibly in the middle of undergrad, where I realized, okay, I want to be a physician. And at that point, I wasn't sure exactly what I wanted to specialize in. That I realized only later in med school, where I realized I wanted to do something with the brain, and I ended up doing neurology.
Yeah. Likewise, how did you become a writer?
I didn't start really writing until undergrad. I know people start off saying they like always wrote as like kids in diaries and stuff. I tried getting into diaries when I was in high school, but I could never really get into it because it also always felt like I was writing for somebody, but it was just a very strange experience for me and I couldn't get into it. Undergrad, I started off in NYU, and one of the required courses is writing the essay. And it's one of their actually pretty popular classes. And that's when I fell in love with the essay form and with writing more specifically, just because I had never looked at writing as such an active process. Like, they would send us out to the city, like to the Met, to find things that sort of grabbed our attention and to incorporate that. And then she would use our instructor, she would use like letter writing and reformat that into essays. Like, I basically fell in love with the essay. I think that's what happened. Yeah. And I sort of continued writing after that.
Yeah. So I remember in the winter of 2019-2020, when we were first hearing about this illness, a lot of us weren't sure how big a deal it was going to be. And so there you were in your first year of residency. At what point did you see COVID as the truck in the oncoming lane?
So I think the moment I realized it was when they shut down all elective surgeries. Like, there was definitely a buildup up to everything. And it's like, there was so much uncertainty even in our hospitals. Like, I remember some people were telling us not to wear masks and others were wearing it despite like ID people telling us we didn't need to wear it. And that was all the way up until even a week when they said it was a pandemic. So there was just so much uncertainty. And it's like, is this going to become pertinent to Detroit? What's going on? And then it's when they stopped all the elective surgeries that we were like, oh my God, okay, it's hitting us.
Yeah. Do you mind reading from the book for us?
So from the beginning?
Yeah, just maybe as much of the first pages makes sense to you.
Okay, so this is from the first essay. It's titled Testing. It has subtitles for the days, so it starts off with Sunday. Sometimes it takes the collapse of a system to see things clearly. I'm 3/4 into my first year as a neurology resident. The World Health Organization declared a coronavirus pandemic on March 11, 2020, and Donald Trump announced a national emergency in the White House Rose Garden on the 13th. Just for cultural pin dropping, the top 3 songs on this week's Billboard Hot 100, The Box by Roddy Ricch, Life is Good with Future and Drake, and Circles by Post Malone. The Weeknd's new album, After Hours, is dropping in a week. The bars are emptying as we try to make sense of it all. A neurology department-wide Skype meeting is held on Sunday, March 15. Dua Lipa's Don't Start Now has replaced Post Malone's song. Medical students will no longer be rotating in the hospital. Everything that can be done remotely will be off-site. I pace the ground floor at home, microphone muted, listening to the neurology chair's reassuring voice punctuated by 60 chaotic others. In med school, we'd studied the last influenza pandemic, known as the Spanish flu, which at the end of World War I killed more people than the war itself. We learned the properties of orthomyxovirus that allow it to quickly mutate, and that it was only a matter of time before another flu pandemic came around. COVID-19, a shorthand for coronavirus disease 2019, is from a different family, Coronaviridae, of which SARS and MERS are also a part. The argument in the news media about this not being just the flu has been baffling. Just the flu has its own weighty mortality in elderly and immunocompromised populations. There are two modalities to medicine, immortal and mortal. The immortal part is the education and research that goes into it and naturally draws the human ego and senses. Positive ssRNA, RNA-dependent RNA polymerase, genetic recombination. The mortal part is the craft, which involves patient care and requires the creation of purpose out of purposelessness. How not to have a God complex and still serve? What's the uncliched verb for what we're supposed to be doing?
Selena Mahmoud, when I saw the title of your book, a part of me just sort of went, uh-oh. In terms of what I was expecting in terms of the pandemic narrative and just what would be going on with you in this book and the challenges that you'd be going through. I mean, medical residency can be a really rough ride under any circumstances. This is a time when people are being pushed to their limits. The hours are legendarily long, although some of that's changing. And it's a time when people are finding out if they're really cut out for what they've chosen to do. And then doing all this during the pandemic, when many of our hospitals, especially in Detroit, were just literally under siege. What did it mean to you to be writing about this experience?
So I started off writing about it mostly as just notes on a daily basis, because while it was going on, I was like, I want to remember this. So it just started off as that initially. While it was going on, though, I also, like, there was so much sensationalism around it as well, very quickly on the media, and it didn't feel real to me. So I wanted to somehow make it real, and that's why I mostly started writing, because it was important and it meant a lot, and I just didn't know how to process it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like we said, you're a neurology resident, but as the pandemic started to hit, you and your fellow interns were redeployed, was the term of art, to a new COVID floor?
Yeah.
What did that mean in terms of the type of work that you were doing every day?
Oh, drastically different. It was different from anything we'd done before, either on internal medicine or neurology or anywhere else. It required isolation in every single room. Two, they had to pull in staff to cover the floors. Three, we didn't even really know what we were doing. They had like basic algorithms, but even then it was just, it's not like they had run a kind of demo before figuring out what to do. So I remember literally the first day we walked in, the attending probably knew as much as we did. We just had like a quick lecture on just like what we knew about the virus itself and what worked so far at that point. And at that point, we were still using, we weren't doing steroids. We were doing azithromycin and hydroxychloroquine. And yeah, we walked in the morning at 6 a.m. and we didn't have any protective gear either. So the nurses were literally scrambling to figure out where to get that from as well. And that took a few hours for them to figure out where to get it from. And even then, it was like very basic supplies. And then once that floor opened up, we literally got so many admissions. Like, we were slammed within the first hour. And I don't think we were really expecting it. Like, we knew the cases were rising. We just weren't expecting the floor to literally fill up within the first couple of hours.
Yeah. There's a passage on page 35 that sort of speaks to what was going through your mind as you had to adapt. Do you mind reading a little bit for us?
Yeah. So this is from Orona. Scratch that, all on the floor. It's the evening of March 24, and my neurology co-interns and I got notified that we're being redeployed, that is, pulled from our current rotations to make a new COVID floor. Not gonna lie, I was scared. Not gonna lie, I wavered. I'm going, and I can't believe the sentimentality is spewing from my mouth, but damn, it really feels like we're going to war. I moved out the day following my draft, in keeping with that ongoing metaphor. My parents are in a concerning age bracket with associated comorbidities. I emailed the program coordinator for some sort of temporary lodging. Until then, I'm living with one of the other interns. I packed some of my belongings and random house supplies in case I end up needing to rent a place. My mother filled a laundry basket with fruit and entirely too much food. I carried it out of the garage into the dark, airless night and put it in the back seat of my silver baby SUV. No one knows how long this is going to last. While we're constantly being told by sources on social media, by self-help gurus, to focus on the present, I appreciate Frankl's emphasis on what is an imagination of time, a circular creation of looking into the past from a future moment to create the present. He writes about how meaning-making is intertwined with the future. If we are able to envision a future from which we can retrospectively make sense of the past, a meaningful present is created. Moreover, make your life about meaning and side wishes might ensue.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Dr. Selina Mahmoud. She is a second-year neurology resident with Henry Ford Health System. Her new book is called A Pandemic in Residence, Essays from a Detroit Hospital. One of the things I love about your essays is that you definitely give us that piece of the crisis and your experience of it. But there's just so much other stuff in here from, like, you know, again, the songs that were you know, people were listening to at the time, little bits of Pakistani American history, little medical topics that just I didn't know about. Were these elements you needed just because it was part of the flow of what was going through your head?
Yeah, and it's interesting because it started off more about those things, and I found myself thinking about those things a lot, and they were grounded in the pandemic rather than it being the other way around, if that makes sense. It started off very free-flowing, automatic thought writing, and then I realized it was just hovering over ground and I needed to ground it. And I realized a lot of these thoughts were being manifest from what was going on around me. And it was almost like a reverse process of that manifestation and grounding it in the pandemic.
You know, we don't do a terribly good job of treating doctors like human beings. I think that's true from the administrative end as well as the patient end in different ways. And I think that was one of the things that level of detail kind of helped me with as I was thinking about people, you know, across the medical profession and sort of how they were experiencing this. Can you talk at all about being in these spaces and seeing what you saw and helping the people you were able to help and, you know, watching people who you weren't able to help? Were there moments at which you started to question whether this was really what you're meant to do for your career?
Yeah, I think I wouldn't be a resident if I didn't do that multiple times during my intern year. I'm sure it may have been expounded by the pandemic. But yeah, I thought about it multiple times, especially because you question so many aspects of it. Are you actually really even helping people? Like, what are you actually doing? And it's hard to see it when you're so in it, if you're actually doing anything to help others. I know it's like strange to think about because then you watch shows and you're like, oh no, I actually like am doing things, and doctors do things. But when you're living through it on a minute by minute, day to day basis, one, you only see a lot of these patients while they're acutely ill in the hospital, and you don't get to see them leaving and integrating into their family and society again. So missing out on that facet of things, I think, gives you a one view things of what's happening inside the hospital. And that makes you question the futility of what you're doing. I was actually meant to be on my first outpatient month when I was redeployed. So I never got to see patients leave the hospital and come in and see what they were like back in their normal lives.
Right. At the same time, there is one essay that you close with the sentence, "That was the first time I started looking at medicine, not as a walkway between life and death, but rather as a creative process of healing and innovation." That is such a striking framing of medicine as a creative process, and something that we really don't hear very often. Can you say more about how you came to view medicine in this way?
Yeah, so I think initially you started off trying to make meaning out of it being like, okay, we're saving lives. And that one puts a lot of pressure on everything. And two, when patients do end up dying after a prolonged course and you've put in hours and hours and months into caring for a patient, and then to suddenly have them pass away, it's kind of devastating for you, and then you don't know how to make sense of it either. And it's like, okay, how do I make sense of all this energy and emotional and physical energy I put into caring for this human? And in the end, they ended up passing away. So that's when I'm like, okay, I have to find another way to make meaning of this because this is going to lead to me burning out. So then I was like, okay, this is more of, it makes more sense for this to be a process of discovering life and discovering more about diseases and what I can. And if I focus on that rather than this being solely a life and death purpose, that makes more sense to me.
I mean, the fact that you're a second year neurology resident tells me maybe the answer to this question, but are you going to stick with neurology?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think you'll keep writing?
I hope so. But I mean, I'm going to write either way. Whether I publish something else is, I guess, another question.
Well, Selena Mahmood, thank you so much for this collection. It's it feels like an important artifact of what everybody's been through, but also just a really good collection of essays.
Thank you so much.
Dr. Selena Mahmood's new book is A Pandemic in Residence, Essays from a Detroit Hospital. It publishes on May 18th. Support for arts and culture coverage on Stateside comes in part from the Michigan Council for Arts and Cultural Affairs.